we don't believe that we should be evaluated by inaccurate measures that only rely on standardized tests.
I'd like to get your sense of how Campbell Brown is getting over in the media. Is she being challenged?
Well, I find it deeply troubling that she's using her media cachet to go on a publicity tour to promote her cause and this lawsuit, but she insists that she's still not blaming teachers. I think she is getting a little bit of support in the media. The case was talked about on The View, and Whoopi Goldberg and Jenny McCarthy and some other guests were very critical of teacher tenure laws and seemed to be supporting Campbell Brown's viewpoint. But I think there's also a lot of people writing critical essays and exposés about what's really going on behind the scenes and how there are much bigger forces at work that are inhibiting public education than these laws.
We've been speaking with Alyssa Hadley Dunn, a professor of education at Michigan State University. Her latest book is Teachers Without Borders: The Hidden Consequences of International Teachers in U.S. Schools. You can read her fact check on Campbell Brown at commondreams.org. Thanks again for joining us on Counterspin today, Alyssa Hadley Dunn.
Thank you so much.
KBOO Portland. The time is 6:01, and coming up next is Bread and Roses, feminist news and public affairs, right here on KBOO 90.7 FM. Stay tuned.
KLU Community Radio and Triangle Productions are proud to co-sponsor the return of Medicarefully Fabulous. Friday, August 8th through Saturday, August 16th, Medicarefully Fabulous will return to the Sanctuary Theater for a limited engagement. The show is a series of original stories about aging, faith, friendships, and recovery. Again, that's Medicarefully Fabulous, Friday, August 8th through Saturday, August 16th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at KLU.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Monday, August 18th at 6:30 p.m., join KBOO at the Clinton for a screening of Woodstock, The Director's Cut. This landmark concert film is the definitive record of that three-day cultural event. Director Michael Wadley worked with over 300 hours of footage to create his original 225-minute Director's Cut. Again, that's Woodstock, The Director's Cut at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 2014 Matt Dishman Community Center Block Party, Saturday, August 9th from noon to 4 p.m. This family-friendly event will include a barbecue, swimming, arts and crafts, vendors, DJ Mike Morris, live music, and more. This year's block party is in honor of Portland's Robert Probasco, an advocate for justice and fighter against discrimination. Robert was a sponsor, mentor, advisor, confidant, and friend of the community. The block party will take place in the street in front of the Matt Dishman Community Center, 77 Northeast Knott in Portland. Again, that's this Saturday, August 9th, from noon to 4 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Lost grace, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing Bread and Roses.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, feminist news and public affairs on KABU since 1978, making it the longest-running feminist radio show in the country. This airspace is shared among a collective and is always open to new members, no experience necessary. So, if you're interested in hosting or producing or engineering, please contact KABU's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes, at volunteer@kboo.org. You can also connect with us on the KABU website, kboo.fm, Bread and Roses. You can access podcasts of our shows, send us feedback, and show ideas. And please like us on Facebook under KABU Bread and Roses. I'm your host this week, Leanne Kranz, and our engineer is Brooke. Tonight, we highlight two local entities doing good works that benefit women and the community. Later in the show, we welcome Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity. They are so cool. They use donated land to grow organic, non-GMO vegetables and fruits and then donate them directly to those who need them, including organizations that serve women. And the story of how it all began is equally inspiring. So please stay tuned for that a little later in the show. And now we highlight another incredible entity in our community that provides opportunities for local women and women-identified writers, the Unchaste Readers Series, a bi-monthly forum for women writers to give voice to their work for an audience, to, quote, read their minds. I am joined in the studio tonight by the founder and curator of this series, Jenny Forrester, here to tell us more and to share some upcoming opportunities for women and women-identified writers who might be listening to get involved. Jenny Forrester was the 2011 recipient of the Richard Hugo House New Works Competition Award and has been published in a variety of places, including Nailed Magazine, Hip Mama Magazine, and the Indiana Review. She and Ariel Gore co-edited the anthology, The People's Apocalypse. Welcome, Jenny Forrester.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay. So please tell us what compelled you to begin the Unchaste Readers Series.
So I've had a dream for, 30 years of buying land and having a women's cooperative, and we would all create our own kinds of art, visual art, performance art, writing, of course, and whatever we wanted. And that's really difficult. So it's much easier, actually, to do small things. And I had been inspired by Carrie Seitzinger and Maddie Bylus of Small Doggies and Nailed Magazine and Brian Ellis and a whole bunch of other amazing Portland literary people, Kevin Samsel, who ran reading series and still do. And I thought, well, I could do that. That's not land and living on a cooperative, space. So I started this, and I asked for the help of Dina Rash Guzman, who was extremely influential in helping get things going. She can connect with people. She's extremely friendly and outgoing, and just has so many gifts. And she put them to use in connecting with really well-published writers like Lydia Yurknovich. So she stayed with me for a while and helped. She's quite a prolific poet, so she moved on to other things. So I have been able to keep it going because of the immense level of quality and quantity of Portland women and women-identified writers.
Hear, hear. So you called it the Unchaste Reader Series. Why Unchaste? What does that mean to you?
So I remember doing a, well, what should we call this thing, kind of a text back and forth with Dina and with Ron, my husband, and we were just throwing all these ideas out, and the idea of sexual autonomy came up, and the idea of being anti-slut shaming and things like that came up, and there's this, you know, idea in the Bible, it's biblical, the idea of being chaste, and so I was like, oh, unchaste, not chaste, that's perfect. And so it's kind of about being autonomous, but it's also about consent. And there are stories of being, you know, there are rape stories and there are domestic violence stories, and then there are also really sexy stories. And we just had a woman talk about her sexual relationship with her husband after decades of marriage, so it runs the gamut, and it works really nicely as an idea.
Yeah, it doesn't exclude anyone.
I hope not.
Yeah. So this is a space for women and women identified writers to get up and read their work to a supportive audience.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you feel that women's only spaces are important, especially for the arts?
I think that exclusion is kind of part of our society, and women are excluded, even though there are more of us in the world. And so I think women-only spaces are important because we need to get our voices heard, and we need to find the courage to actually speak up. And it's kind of terrifying to speak in front of a giant audience, but if you can whittle your audience down to people who you might have more in common with, perhaps that might make it easier for you to get up there and speak, even though your voice is shaking or you're not sure about your writing, or even if you are sure but you're nervous about your writing in or reading in public. We have had one woman who's extremely prolific and published, well published. When I read her bio, I thought, wow, this is stunning. And she was so nervous about getting up and reading. I was amazed by that. But she did. And so we never know what our different challenges are. And I really enjoy creating that space for people to expand their skill set.
So for those listening, can you tell them how to get in touch with you if they want to get involved, or can you tell us about some upcoming events you have scheduled?
So we have a website, and it's called unchastereaders.com. It's a WordPress blog, and I put up the flyers for the next reading and other activities, and I have interviews of former unchaste readers up, so you can read a lot of different kinds of stories. And on the website, oh, and I'm also on Facebook, of course. But on the website, our next flyer that's up is for actually tomorrow. It's for Unchaste University, and that's a new thing. And the goal there is to connect author teachers with writers. And so tomorrow we're going to have an amazing author, Carrie Luna. She's the author of A Revolution of Every Day, and she's going to teach a super feminist class tomorrow, and then after a couple of hours of class and writing time, we're going to go to dinner, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have an open mic at St. John's Booksellers in North Portland. I love St. John's Booksellers. She's been supporting us for a couple of years now, and so come do that. And the next thing is going to be in August 19th. It's a Tuesday at Crush Bar. They have an awesome stage and a really nice sound system. And you get 3 minutes, 3 minutes of your best work. And you're going to get up there and you're going to be amazing. And I'm going to love it.
So to give us a taste of what you might hear at an Unchaste Readers series event, Jenny Forrester has generously agreed to read some of her own work tonight. I love when we have spoken word on the air here on KVU. It's exciting. Do you want to set us up for this?
Sure, sure. So I don't actually read at my own series because there are so many women wanting to read. And So I always appreciate the opportunity to read too. So this is a story that I wrote, and it has a great story to it because it was one of those 10-minute kind of gifts from the muse, and so I enjoy it, and it did well in a contest, and it was eventually published in Small Doggies Press. So I don't think you need a setup, but it's a little bit of a setup is that it's not about lesbian domestic violence. It's about something else. It's a metaphor, all right? And it's called American Charity. The kidney donation story was written up in the paper, not because it's unique that I gave up a kidney for a stranger, but that I also gave up a piece of my liver, some bone marrow, lots of blood, some skin, a bucket load of ovaries, and had a baby for someone, and so that kidney seemed significant. And I'm a lesbian, so it added to the human interest storyline. My girlfriend was lying on the floor, curled up. That's what she does. She goes fetal. That's her defense against me. It worked because I really do have a soft heart. I had hit her, not very hard, but there she was, on the floor. She started crying, and I said, "What can I do to make you stop crying?" She didn't speak, so I said, "How about if I give up a kidney? Will that make you stop crying?" She looked at me, sat straight up, and with a voice of gravel and tears, said, "Yes." We went into the bedroom and made love, and then I got online and found a way to donate a kidney. That was our pattern. I really should get control of my temper. I don't have many organs left to give, and I'm too old to have any more babies. I think my girlfriend is trying to kill me.
That was Jenny Forrester, our guest tonight, the founder and curator of the Unchaste Reader Series, reading American Charity. Wow.
Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to write it, and it was amazing how it just came out like that. And it was so deep.
Cool.
It's a writer gift.
Yeah, I hear about those.
We all get them, I hear.
So
I'm hoping for more.
I was, you know, wondering, writing is such a solitary, quiet pursuit, mm-hmm. and so is reading a book, typically. Mm-hmm. So why do you feel, let me finish that first statement. Mm-hmm. Why do you feel it's important for a writer to read aloud? And what sort of impact has that experience had on the readers in the series? Have you heard feedback about that?
Definitely. The reading of your work in front of an audience makes you really pay attention to every single word, and it gives you an idea of your pacing, because when you're reading it, you can feel like, oh, this is dragging. This, you know, I need to speed this up, or I need to just chop this out completely. And I think that, you know, you can read it to yourself in the mirror at home. That, like, that's the old rule, right? Mm-hmm. And that's great. But when you also have the feedback from the audience, hey, you know, I really liked when you did this. I appreciated how you did that. And people start talking about their own writing, and it becomes a conversation. And I think that, so for that, I think it's extremely valuable.
So can you tell everybody one more time how they can get in touch with you and what events you've got coming up, especially the one tomorrow?
I would love to. So check out unchasedreaders.com, and Unchased Readers is also on Facebook. Tomorrow we're having the Unchased University inaugural class with Carrie Luna at 3 o'clock at St. John's Booksellers, and it is for women and women-identified people only, please. And then the open mic at Crush Bar on August 19th, that's a Tuesday, at 7:30. You get 3 minutes, and I'm going to cut you off. But 3 minutes, it's going to be great.
Cool. And so thank you so much, Jenny Forrester, for being our guest tonight to get the word out. We wanted to get the word out to you all about the event tomorrow and give you a taste of what is actually happening in our community. And we want to bring Jenny Forrester back with some of the writers in her series, the reader writers in her series. So we're planning that for the fall. So I'll be sure to put that on the KBOO website as well.
Great.
Thanks so much, Jenny.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.
And please stay tuned. Up next, we welcome Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity.
are saying. Wanna sail with the light of day, sailing through my garden, sailing through the trees, sailing through my garden.
That was Toni Price with Beautiful Garden. You're listening to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. Tonight, we are honoring organizations doing good works that benefit women in our community. And I'm so honored to have this group here with me tonight. I'm joined in the studio by the founder and volunteers of Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, this is one of the This is just the coolest thing. It's one of the most beautiful stories I've heard since I've been in this town. They use donated land to grow organic, non-GMO vegetables and fruits, and then donate them directly to those in need, including organizations that serve women. I first learned about the Giving Vegetable Gardens charity when I interviewed Lettuce Grow Garden Foundation last September. Lettuce Grow, you might remember, brings gardens and garden education programs to correctional facilities in Oregon. And one of the participants in that program went on to initiate his own program upon his release and took it to a whole other level. The man is here with us again tonight, Bob Dingus, and he has brought with him a group of people involved in this community effort. It's truly one of those beautiful things when we think about Portland, this is exactly what I think we're all talking about, what they do. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
it's great.
So why don't we right away just introduce everyone around the table, that you each tell folks what your involvement is in this beautiful organization. Maybe Bob, why don't you begin with you as the founder?
Well, that's founded Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity in 2012, and it was just an idea. You know, it was just a few tomato plants, and it's grown into now, with the addition of Sue's property, is probably we're looking at, you know, over 20,000 square feet, which is it's a lot of growing area, and I'm trying to grow food demographically now. You know, we're trying to cut the waste out and try to grow food for pantries and organizations, Rose Haven, you know, the women's shelter, and grow food that they use, that they can use, you know what I mean, instead of donating a bunch of food that doesn't get used and it gets tossed out. So we just took lists from all the agencies that we're supporting, and they gave us lists of the clientele and what they eat, and then we started putting those things in the ground.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you grew according to their needs.
Their needs, yeah. Hmm. Go figure, right?
I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
You guys seem to be doing just the right thing. That makes sense,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have these wonderful women that are involved I couldn't do it without them. I mean, they're actually the ground force. They're the driving force that makes it happen.
As women do.
As women do.
Okay.
How about my wife, Kim?
Okay. Yeah. Welcome, Kim.
Hello, my name is Kimberly Dingus, and I am Bob's wife. And it has been a joy and... just really exciting to see what has happened since I picked him up that morning in August of 2012, and the things that have happened, and his passion for people and growing food that is healthy and free of all the GMOs, and like he said, a few tomato plants and some onions and a couple of garlic plants to what has been given us today has been a gift that that is really indescribable. I mean, it's exciting, it's kind of overwhelming, but the gift part of it is amazing, and being able to be involved and be by his side through this has been a gift for me, you know, and watching, and the people that step up and get involved, that that get caught in just by, wow, really? Oh, I'd love to help here, or I could do that, or I want to do this. And so things just happen. I mean, there's not a lot of, can you please? It's can I help? What can I do? And that's been the exciting part of all this, is just the gifts keep coming in, new faces, new people, new personalities, and all of it's for the same cause. All of it's for the healthy foods and feeding people the right way, the way we're supposed to be eating. Mm-hmm. So my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly.
All right. I'm Jamie Dinges. I'm Bob's daughter, and I'm a new supporter. I've never experienced something so intense that helps so much and be a part of it. So I'm very happy to be here. And I find weeding and gardening actually therapeutic. I always have since I was little. I love having my fingers in the dirt. And I am trying to come to terms with the fact that I get to be a part of something that is just growing so big in front of my eyes. But yeah. I'm very grateful, very grateful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you guys have expanded a lot. We'll get into that in a little bit. And Chris?
I'm Chris Flickema, and I'm a horticulture student at Clackamas Community College, where I met Bob at Horticulture Club, where I was president for about a year and a half. And Bob kind of, he has a lot of enthusiasm for this project, and it really, it rubbed off on me. I helped move compost once. I made a couple deliveries, one to a women's shelter and the other to a center for assisted living or independent living. Okay. And it was so wonderful to see what a difference we were making in these people's lives, where they could have gotten non-perishable food bank food in a box, processed, and really just hardly resembling food at all, in my opinion. And this has just been a really inspiring time for me. I just signed on to be the site manager, excuse me, of our new garden site in Oak Grove. And I'm really looking forward to getting that place in shape and getting things growing and seeing who we can give things to in that area.
Nice.
Hi, I'm Susan Hicks, and I'm here because I accepted an invitation from Chris to speak at the Clackamas Community College Horticulture Club, and in that audience was Bob. And when you meet Bob, you understand that he's a force to be reckoned with and not to be ignored. And it so happens that I'm a practicing horticulturist. I design gardens all day, and I have a large garden that had fallen into disrepair. Life happens. My husband died, and it was very hard for me. We used to garden together, and it was very hard for me to go back into the garden. In fact, I didn't go into the garden for 2 years. Mm. So it's a wonderful blessing to me that I can now take that space and work with an organization like this one to help feed people. It's a beautiful gift, and it's one of these opportunities where everyone literally is going to benefit by participating.
Right. Right.
So you donated your yard?
Yes. It's big. It's huge. It's probably 7,000 square feet. And it's massive. Already, it's got grapes and fruit trees and huge, huge growing beds that Sue has preserved with putting plastic mulch over them and preserving the soil. And so the soil's pretty amended. We're having, we're going to get Recology, Nature's Needs. We're teamed up with them, and they give us all our organic compost for free. And so we're getting a bunch at Sue's. I mean, it's huge. You guys need to come out and see it sometime. And it's well, on our website, there'll be pictures soon. So
why don't you give folks that information right now, since you brought it up?
Well, you can Google, like, Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity. If you put a space and put org in the search, then our website will come up too. Or it's www.givingvegetablegardenscharity.org. And that's it. And you can see what's going on there. You can see three gardens. We have the Terry site, we have the Navajo site, and then we have the Halsey site, and now we have the Hicks site.
The Hicks site.
Yes. The it's like we went up. We keep going up, you know, and if you look, if you actually look at the sites, and that's exactly how it went. It went from small to medium to large to giant. Now it's like, Susan's a farm site.
It is.
Yeah, it's more like a farm site, I think.
My.
Yeah.
Endless
when do you, make that jump, you know, boat to ship? You know what I mean? There's a criteria somewhere. I don't know what it is, but it's big there. It's nice.
It's just incredible that we're not even talking about a nonprofit yet. You guys are just a network of Portlanders, community members, making this happen. It's incredible.
Yeah, and I think if we wait for that, you know, we would be waiting, and people wouldn't get fed. And so we've been, all of us together have been taking out of our own pockets to make it work. And we are, we'd like to get our 501c3. I mean, people could go to the GoFundMe if they wanted to help out, you know, and help us with that. But, you know, that's totally up to them. We'll get it sooner or later.
Why don't you mention about the GoFundMe campaign you're currently running and what you're hoping to use the funds for?
Well, originally it was to get 2 cargo bikes for delivery so we could deliver green, 2 electric assisted cargo bikes that could handle all of Portland, the gardens here in Portland and the agencies here in Portland, northeast and southeast, and even downtown and northwest where we have one agency there. The dream was to get enough to get the 2 bikes and file the 501c3. But as we started the GoFundMe, it more or less kind of took a life of its own. It's like, okay, so this raising money, this fundraising thing is a full-time job, and it's really hard. You know, I didn't realize how hard it is. And in the climate we're in right now, where a lot of people don't have money, it's even harder. Mm-hmm. It's even harder. I mean, so I was like under the understanding, okay, well, just give a coffee's worth. You know what I mean? What's a cup of coffee cost? Just donate 2 or 3 bucks. You know what I mean? If people did that, we'd be able to get it. Now, I've been told that maybe go ahead. You jump in there, Chris.
The other thing that people can donate is their time.
Right.
We are actually tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., we are going to start cleaning up the Hicks garden site and get it ready to be planted. And we're definitely looking for volunteers to help us with that.
Right.
We've got it up on Facebook, all our accounts and everything. So if you're interested in this charity and you don't have money to donate, you can always get in touch with us and donate your time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Greatly appreciated.
Yes.
And again, we're talking with Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity. Their website is givingvegetablegardenscharity.org. Their GoFundMe campaign can be found by going to, is it GoFundMe.com?
Or there's a link right on the website at the top.
Okay.
Yeah, top right hand.
GoFundMe.com, I believe you can also access it by typing in Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity.
Absolutely.
So, wow. And it's great. Not only do you donate fruit and vegetables, organic, pristine, gorgeous, healthy food to those in need, But isn't it true that you also donate compost and seeds to other people?
We have a seed bank, and we've been real fortunate to get donated. We got donated 2 cases of seed last season. And we offer those seeds to anybody that wants them. I mean, all you got to do is go on there, and we have a document that you can pull up. You can see what we have available. And then there'll be, you could like private message us, or, well, we haven't really got that part all worked out yet, but we have the seeds, and Chris was going to be also doing that. She was also going to have the seeds, so.
Yes, I'll be the keeper of the seeds. They're going to be in my basement. It's nice and cool. That's
good. You know what I mean? And if somebody needs compost and we have it, you're more than welcome to it. You know, I try to get enough in our neighborhood or enough dropped that if there's some left over, you know, or we can... Go ahead, Chris.
The other thing, aside from managing garden sites and growing food and donating it, we also help people to set up their own gardens. So if they don't have the knowledge or the materials, we can help them.
Absolutely.
Grow food in their own yard.
And Chris, the timing on that comment is perfect because everyone thinks about gardening in the spring, and fewer people realize that gardening is a very viable activity for the fall. Mm-hmm. And in fact, just before we came on air here, we were all talking about planning our fall garden. So it's a wonderful opportunity to dive in, roll up your sleeves, get a little muddy, and have some fun.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you can grow year-round. There's stuff that you can, you know, we'll be harvesting garlic next spring that's going in the ground. I mean, onion, all your root crops, almost all your root crops. It doesn't get so cold here that they don't survive with maybe a little cloaching or a small little hoop and a little plastic and you've got crops, you know what I mean? And it's important. We're going to do it on a bigger scale, of course, and make sure that the agencies we support have a constant flow of food. And we do put gardens in for people. We ask like a donation, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we'll put in, we have materials that we have stocked. And if you're here in the Portland area and you want a garden, we'd be more than happy to come out and put the garden in, do the whole install and plant it at whatever we have on hand. In the springtime we have starts, but in this time we'll have seed, and you can make a donation. We'll do that.
So you just mentioned that you donate produce to organizations in town that need it. You mentioned earlier that you donate to Rose Haven House.
Absolutely.
They were a guest on Bread and Roses. They serve homeless women in our community. And Bob Dinges, the founder of Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity, he asked me for ideas as a Bread and Roses member, you know, if there were organizations that we were aware of that served women. And he just took it and ran with it. And do you want to tell us about any of the organizations you're currently donating to?
Well, Rose Haven, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really a pleasure to give them fresh vegetables for salads. It's wonderful. And then Independent Living Resources, the people that are blind and are challenged in any way, you know, that's kind of their little spot there. And it was amazing because we just did a delivery. Chris and I did a delivery just a couple weeks ago. We just did another one to both places just yesterday. And it was amazing that it was like, oh, I can smell the, they could smell the.
It lit up their faces.
Yeah, the basil, and they could smell, oh, what's that? And they were just touching, and they're, oh, put some of those in my bag, will you please? And it was like, wow, this is so cool because it's like we were like a grocery store for them. You know what I mean? And so it just motivates you to grow more, get more to them. But what I am finding is that we're going to have to, I don't want to say this, but, you know, we support 9 agencies, but we really can't. I mean, mm-hmm. We need more help and we need we need to get our efficiency up, but we're going to try to focus on the ones that we can support.
You know, there's a wonderful opportunity for people who have always thought about gardening, but maybe didn't know how or didn't know where to start or where to go. This would be a fabulous opportunity to partner up with people who are really dedicated gardeners, put a little sweat equity in, and who knows what you'll come back with.
Yeah.
You know, wonderful experience. It truly is a hands-on situation that you need to get in the field. You need to get your hands dirty, and you need to be able to see these things developing over time, over seasons, because it truly is connected to the earth. It's connected to the environment. It is a community. It's not a singular activity, and it's just a wonderful, true, loving experience.
And the need was so great. I couldn't think of that's what surprised me the most, is I thought, well, we'll just grow some vegetables and we'll get them to one of the pantries. And then when the pantry says, okay, I remember we went to St. Pete's, you know, in Lent, and there it's a poor community right there. And Father Raul looked at me and he says, so you're going to grow food for us? And I was like, yeah, we're going to, exactly what we're going to do.
It is such a beautiful story. I could cry right now. Oh,
it's
my
amazing
goodness.
To be a part of.
Yeah.
And it's not something that someone else does. It's something that you can do. Maybe you are a gardener and you really can get excited about this. And maybe you just can appreciate what it means to be able to enjoy a tomato that really had the opportunity to ripen on the vine, what it's like to have basil that doesn't have a lot of chemicals on it, but is actually just incredibly aromatic. It's just perfume, warm with tomatoes in the garden, sitting down, eating corn raw. These are just experiences that you can't buy, and you really do need to garden to have them.
I had an experience like that at Chris's. Bob had me eating the flowers of broccoli and the little, what are they called?
Robs. The
yeah,
robs.
And they were almost better than the broccoli itself. I never thought in my life I'd do that.
Yeah, after it bolts, you know, yeah. You can eat the flowers. I mean, you can eat all of it. It's all edible, you know, and it's good for you.
It's a huge difference when it's that fresh, too.
Yeah,
it
huge.
Was still growing when you picked it.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys, it seems that your deliveries, the food gets there in a very fresh, pristine condition, and there's not a lot of lag time, correct? It just gets
delivered. It's harvested. Well, you have to harvest when it's cool, so it's either harvested the night before or really early that morning, and it goes
out.
It goes out that right then. Yeah, so it's like from the garden, harvested cool, and then delivered to the agencies, you know, just that fast. And right on time. I remember going to Rosehaven and the cook go, oh, this is right on time. I mean, you know, I mean, which tells you, you know, thank you. That was like, thank you. Oh, time to chop up. And you know, the demand is unbelievable. We're feeding from the bottom up, is what we're doing. That's the whole gig, is to people that have the opportunity to go buy organic and go buy naturally grown. Those words and the price you pay for that's cool. You can do that, but people on budgets and people that the less fortunate, the elderly, the shut-ins, the people that actually don't have any money, they don't have an opportunity to do that. They're not included. So eating natural, it's become a privilege.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's a right for everyone to eat that food that's grown void of any GE, GMOs. It's amazing. It's like we're in this, to me, it's like this trap, like, Okay, if I'm being fed all this genetically engineered stuff and it's not good for my body because it's killing the good organisms in my body, and then what happens? Okay, I get sick. I got to go to the doctor. The doctor prescribes me something. It's just like this. It turns into like this managed death thing or something. I don't even know, but I'm just saying. I'm just looking in, mm-hmm. and the people on the bottom, they don't have any choice in the matter. They got to eat what's put in front of them,
what's cheap,
right? And they're not asking for the processed food. They're
and
not
it's
given the
not
opportunity.
Healthy. It's right. Nutritionally void, for the most part.
Right.
But it's what they can afford.
Right.
And think about that. We go to the store and I look at the organic sections. And watch who's buying in the organic section. Go ahead, I challenge you. Just go look, watch, and watch what's happening. I'll tell you what, it's not the mom with the kids on a budget that's trying to just get by, or somebody on a fixed income. It's just not.
You know, we're growing vegetables, but really what we're doing is kind of a mind shift, because the truth is, if you have a little bit of land, you can grow things.
Right.
You can grow things that you can take inside,
yeah,
that you can share with your neighbors. And there's
right.
this whole concept of intensive gardening. You do not need acres and acres of land
right.
to produce. Mm-hmm. You can take a landscape that has flowers and shrubs in it, and you can insert shrubs and trees that produce fruit and berries.
Right.
You can take a border that had maybe annual flowers in it and convert that into annual produce,
food
lettuce
source, yeah,
or beans or eggplant or tomatoes, peppers, all kinds of wonderful things.
And that was the original idea. How we got started was to put in gardens in people's yards, little square foot gardens, like, you know, 16 square feet, a 4x4, and then part of that harvest would go to the food bank. And that was the original concept, you know, and it just... Okay, that's a good idea, but, you know, let's just cut all the middlemen out, and then if people want a garden, we'll install it, and they can create their own co-ops in their neighborhood.
I have been on both sides of the fence. I've been able to buy organically and locally where I'm from, and I've also been on the other end, and my children were raised with tomatoes and broccoli, and, I mean, they eat their vegetables, and we would prefer a salad over anything, any day. But sometimes that is not available for anybody in need. Where I come from, you know, even there, everywhere, however you look at it. And it's just amazing when we carried those baskets in yesterday to feel part of something so, you know, is gonna get so big. It's almost euphoric in a manner. It is. It is. And I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well, we're
be brought
glad
in.
You are a part of it.
We're talking about Giving Vegetable Gardens charity. They use donated land to grow organic, non-GMO vegetables and fruits and donate them directly to those in need, including some former Bread and Roses guests, the Rose Haven House, serving homeless women in our community. I want to, before we get too far along, I want to mention again that this organization is not a nonprofit yet. They're moving in that direction, but they're doing extraordinary work in our community. They're already serving 9 agencies, is that what you said?
Right.
And they could really use some community support. We've talked about a lot of ways that people can support them with their presence by volunteering. But if you have other skills in the community that you might offer, fundraising skills, or Bob, anything you guys want to say about other positions that people could potentially help serve?
Well, we're always needing people to... fundraising is huge. I mean, if I could find some people that knew how to put venues together, or something together where we could... I got some good ideas, mm-hmm. you know, but... I'm not the one to, I'm not that, I don't have that hat, I don't wear mm-hmm. it. That's somebody else's hat, and if they want to get involved, we could really use that. Maybe people that have a piece of land that has water mm-hmm. and is willing to let us come in and grow on it and they could benefit from the vegetables themselves, and we would be open to looking at that. And just people that want to get in the garden can contact Chris or myself or anybody on the website, or Sue. I mean, if Sue would open up to that, that would be very cool. We need people involved. Any kind of skill set. I don't know how to really answer that question.
Let me give that website one more time. If you're listening and you're inspired and you have something to contribute to this effort, it's www.givingvegetablegardenscharity.org. They also have a GoFundMe campaign, gofundme.com, and look up Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity. Did you have something to say, Chris?
I was just going to mention that other skills that we might have use for are people who can maintain equipment, small engines, that sort of thing.
A cargo bike, electric-assisted cargo bike.
Yeah. Somebody has a vehicle that they want to donate,
or want to help us logistically get the food from one place to another. That's always that's the biggest issue right now is logistics for the food, and we really struggle in that area. So that would be nice to have that smoothed out for us a little bit.
People who can help make deliveries.
Right.
Who have a vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, getting the vegetables from our site in Beaverton because that's our biggest producer of greens right now is Jason Leachman. He is just killing it up there.
So to speak.
He is our number one producer of greens. He's just amazing. But getting that food from there to North Portland for distribution is one of our
hurdle.
It's a hurdle, yeah. It's one of the hurdles that we need to overcome. So yeah, I like what Chris says. A vehicle, people that are willing to drive or deliver. Yeah, I like that idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Chris, would you like to mention one more time about the work party tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Anybody who is going to be in the Oak Grove area, we're going to be starting at 9 a.m. at Sue Hicks's house and her donated land, which is going to be a small farm. And we're going to go there and just clean up the weeds and
tune it up
and see what we've got there and move forward with preparing it for planting.
Absolutely.
And to connect with you, they can either go to your website again, givingvegetablegardenscharity.org, or you have a Facebook page under
Chris is the manager of that site, so she needs to throw some contact information out there, I think. So
anything more specific you have?
An email address, maybe?
Okay, I could I could give you my email, and that is wingchun@cdne.net, and that's wingchun@cdne.net, and that's, I don't have any other email right now, so.
That'll do.
Right. Or you can get a hold of me you can get a hold of us on the Facebook. We are a Facebook site, and just message that you want to help and leave a number or something to get a hold of you, and I can give that to Chris. And now that Chris is part of it, she'll be having access to the Facebook site. So this is all kind of new. This whole site just came about, and so we're just still trying to figure out that part of it. Yeah.
And the Facebook page is under Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity.
Absolutely.
I'm really excited about this next segment. Bob, the founder, Bob Dingus's daughter, Jamie Dingus, has written a poem, especially for tonight, about her experiences with Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity. And she has agreed to read that to us now. And I haven't heard it yet. I'm excited.
All right. It's called A Change. Today, there is a senseless greed, a future, the people, to which they now feed. They're fading in health, suffering by hands to which they are dealt. We must rise together and support this just cause. From the bottom up, countless hunger it draws. A natural mission to regain control. I'm going to start crying.
You're not the only one.
A natural mission to regain control. The processed foods claim now taking its toll. As a community, each garden preserved. Less fortunate souls given food they're deserved. Helping maintain a right once believed. To give and demand a goal we've achieved. To help this world change, together we stand. Our efforts pave way to a design much more grand. So, a thank you to many who believe in our fight. A charity by name, we strengthen our right. A better life from the bottom up. I can't do it.
You did it. Yeah. You did it.
Woo. Wow. It was... Wow.
Good job.
It was intense. Just reading some of the website and just being a part of it is overwhelmingly amazing to me, to be a part of something so... I've been there. I've wished for it, you know. Why can't I have a salad, you know? It's just... I am glad to be here. I'm glad to be a part of this. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else right now.
Right, right.
And I've met so many amazing people already. I am so grateful to be here. Yeah, I'm done now. I'm over.
It works both ways. Yeah, it's not a one-way street.
Yeah, it's not a one-way street.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jamie. Yeah, that was beautiful.
No problem. Anytime, honey.
Well, I want to thank all of you for being our guest tonight. It was not your average show. Very special. And what you're doing in the community just really blows me away from the moment I heard about what you guys were up to. And I just would like to encourage anyone out there listening who's inspired by this story to get in touch with Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity. They're on Facebook. Their website, givingvegetablegardenscharity.org. Thank you, Bob Dingus.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Thank you, Sue Hicks, for donating your yard.
Yes.
Thank you, Chris Flickema, for managing the new site, taking that on.
It's my pleasure so far.
All good. You were just a neighbor who lived near that site and thought, well, maybe I can do this. That's amazing. Thank you, Jamie Dingus, beautiful poet, new to Portland. Welcome to our town.
You.
We look forward to hearing more of your work.
Yeah. No problem.
We got to set you up with Unchased Reader series.
I told Jen before she left, I was like, you'll be hearing from me.
And thank you, Kimberly Dinges, for being our guest and your moving words about your husband. You've really seen it all from the beginning.
I have.
So thank you all for listening to KVU and Bread and Roses. We appreciate you, too. Please feel free to join our collective and get involved in front of the mic or behind the scenes. If you're a woman-identified person out there, you can catch us on Facebook under KBOO Bread and Roses or through the KBOO website, kboo.fm/breadandroses. I'm Leanne Kranz. Our engineer tonight was Brooke. And we really wish you all a wonderful weekend. And thank you again for being our guest, Giving Vegetable Gardens Charity.
Yeah. Thanks, Leanne.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Bread and roses. As we come marching, so many women dead. We cry through our city, their ancient call for bread. Our stomachs are empty, but our hearts are hungry too. Oh, hear the people singing, bread and roses.
Oh. You are listening to the end of Bread and Roses. Coming up next is Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop, so keep it locked. Again, you are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Vietnam, an interview, a live performance and book release event. on Saturday, August 9th, 6 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1034 Southwest 13th Avenue in Portland. The presentation will feature live original music, music videos, dramatic readings, and a discussion with the producers. That's Vietnam, an interview, in commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Tonkin Gulf Resolution, Saturday, August 9th, 6 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Interested in solar power? In saving the planet and money on your electricity bill? In creating millions of good jobs? Celebrate the just-completed solar power electricity installation at the Musicians Union Hall on Sunday, August 17th, from 3 to 7 p.m. You'll have a chance to see the roof.